We begin the current daf Masechtas Brachos, daf Chav Gimel. We begin on the bottom of Chav Beis and Beis, second line from the bottom. The Gemara continues along the theme of the previous Gemara of the previous daf, discussing about someone that's davening, but he has to relieve himself or he has to urinate. So the Gemara begins, Tanya Rabban, if someone is in the middle of davening, but then urine was flowing on his knees, in other words, that he was relieving himself. So the halacha is, he has to wait until the urine stops, and then he can continue davening, but as he's urinating, he cannot be davening. So the Gemara asks, where does he go back to? He stopped in the middle of davening, it was just he suddenly had to relieve himself. Where does he go back to, where he was or in the beginning? So the Gemara brings a machlokes. One says you have to go back all the way to the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei, right? The other one says, no, you go where it was, where you stopped when you started urinating, that's where you continue from. So the Gemara wants to explain, let us say that this is what the Machlokes is about. And the Gemara continues on the top of Chav Gimel Meralf. One of them held that if you pause that long, that you could have already finished the whole thing, then you have to go back to the beginning. And that is, whoever's mafsik in his tefillah, if it's a klal in tefillah that if you wait, if you pause that amount of time, you have to go back to the beginning, as the Gemara says regarding Kriya Shema and Daf Chav Dalem Beis. And therefore, we're talking about such a case over here where the person was urinating for that amount of time, where you could have finished the whole thing, and therefore you have to go back to the beginning. But the other one that says that you can continue from where you stopped holds that no, that although you paused that amount of time, it doesn't make a difference. It's not a psul in your tefillah, and you can continue where you were in the middle of davening. So the Gemara says, if that was the case, Amar Ravashi, Ha'im Shah Im Lo Yishah Mi Bo'ileh. If that was the case, that this is what they were discussing, it should have said that if he paused, or he didn't pause, that was the main ingredient of, so to speak, this Machlekes. It should have said the two different factors, that if he paused that amount of time, then you have this Machlekes. But if he didn't pause, then everyone would agree that he can go back to where he was Pasak, where he stopped in the middle. And the fact that it admits that, it seems that that's not the Machlekes. So the Gemara says, Elo, the Kuli Alma, I'm sure could they ligmer his Kula Chayz L'Reish. Rav Ashi says, everybody agrees that if he paused the amount of time that he could have finished the whole Shemoneh Esrei, you have to go back to the beginning. And therefore, you can't go back where you were before you were urinating. Again, the machlokes that we just mentioned was regarding when they did not pause that amount of time. So what would be the pshat in the one who says that you have to go back to the beginning? So the Gemara explains, the marasavar gavr dechuyuhu ve'in ro ve'in tevilasu tevilam, that the one who was davening was ineligible and his tefillah was not fit. And therefore, he wasn't roi b'chalal to say the tefillah. And that is, when he started davening, he obviously needed to use the bathroom. And therefore, he was unfit for davening, so therefore, whatever he davened was not a tefillah at all. And therefore, he has to go back to the beginning. Umar savar gavra chazihu u'tefillah se tefillah. But the other one says, no, that he was someone that was fit to daven. And although he couldn't hold himself out for the time that it would take to finish his tefillah, still it's considered a tefillah ruyeh, it's a tefillah that's fit. And whatever he davened before he was urinating is considered tefillah. So therefore, again, this is the machlokes, so to speak, if it's a din in the gavra. Was this person worthy of davening? Although everyone agrees that he couldn't make it out through the whole davening, but he would make it, so to speak, through, let's say, slach lanu. So do we consider him fit or not? Is the yisoid of the machlokes. If we say he's not fit to davening, so therefore whatever he davened was not a tefillah from someone that's worthy of davening. Versus the other one says no, that whatever he davened was good, and now that he urinated, he continued where he was because it was considered a tefillah. Now the Gemara continues something similar regarding this topic. Tan Rabban, Hanitzach l'nekavav al yisbal. Someone that needs to relieve himself, he shouldn't daven. As we mentioned before, that l'ketchila definitely shouldn't daven. V'im yisbal tefillah seteva. And as we learned, that if he does daven, his tefillah is an abomination. He shouldn't be davening in the situation where he feels the need to go to the bathroom. So the Gemara explains, Zimra v'zvid v'itim Rav Yehuda, l'shonu ele she'in yochel lishes ba'atzma. It's only if he cannot contain himself. But if he could contain himself, although he feels the need to go, but he could contain himself for the whole duration of the Shemoneh Esrei, then, although he shouldn't daven, but if he does, his tefillah is a tefillah. So the Gemara asks, Va'ad Kama, how long is it that we require him to hold himself in, that it should be mutter for him to start his tefillah, to start his Shemoneh Esrei? So Amar Rav Sheitzis Ad Parsa, it has to be that he would be able to contain himself for up to, which approximately, a parser is around 2.4 to 2.9 miles, but the place can say that's the share of 72 minutes. If he can go for 72 minutes without relieving himself, then his tefillah is considered tefillah. So the Gemara says, Ikka demasni la b'masnita. Some say that the Bryce itself says this halacha, that when we said, b'medevum amurim, that qualifying the statement that it means that he has to be able to hold himself in, the Bryce itself says it. And it wasn't the Amayrom of Rav Zvi and Rav Yehuda that said it. And rather, they explain what is the shear of holding oneself in. As the Gemara says, when did we say that a person's tefillah, if he had to relieve and he didn't, that his tefillah is not a tefillah? That's only, and this is the Bryce saying it, if he couldn't contain himself. But the Bryce itself even said this qualification, that if he could hold himself in, it is considered tefillah. And on this, the Amayrom asked Vatkam, and how much is that? How long do you have to be able to contain yourself? And that the Gemara says, around Zvid, ad parsa, that's what Rav Zvid said, that it was until a parsa, 72 minutes, that's the necessary requirement to be considered that your tefillah is a tefillah. The Gemara says, Amr b'shmu b'anachmeinu Amr b'yoynesen, ha-nitzach l'nakovav, ha-reza l'isbal, again, the same idea, that whoever needs to relieve himself, he should not daven. And he brings a pasuk, m'shem shenema, hikun l'kras l'kech Yisrael, prepare yourself before your God Yisrael, as the Pasuk in Amma says. Therefore, the idea is we see that a person should be prepared. He shouldn't be, so to speak, in a situation which is not makavadik for the king, for the melech, for the God of Israel. And therefore, you should relieve yourself first and not daven when you have to relieve yourself. Another statement from the same Amoira, V'omer b'shmu b'anachmeni omer b'yoynesen, my dechsev, what's pshat in the following Pasuk in Kehelas? It says, Shmoy raglecha kasha telech al beiselikim, that you should watch your feet when you're going to the house of God. And the pasuk continues, and the Gemara is going to dash it later. V'karev l'shmaya, and close to here, mites haksilim zavach, then to give to the foolish ones an offering. Ke'inim yodim lasasor, because they don't know how to do evil. So the Gemara, this same Amori, wants to understand what's the pshat in this pasuk. What does this mean? So he explains, shmar atzmachosh loitechta, watch yourself that you shouldn't sin. And the way you interpret this is that the first word of the pasuk shmar is watch yourself, and that's that you shouldn't sin. And then the words of raglcha kasha telech al beis lekim is that because then you're going to have to go to the beis lekim to bring your karban chatas, and that's what it says. Vim techta hevi karban lefane, that if you do sin, then you should bring a karban in front of me, and that's what the pasuk continues. V'karv lishmoya, and be ready to listen. That is amar rava, have a karv lishmoya divrei chacham, that you should be ready to listen to the words of the sages. Shem chaitim mevim karban voisim tshuva, because if they sin, they bring a karban and they do tshuva. And that is what the pasuk is telling you, this message, don't sin. But if you do, then you'll have to come, because then you're going to have to come to the Beis Lakim. And then if you do, you should be karav l'shmaya, that you should bring the karban and do tshuva. And the pasuk continues, mites haksilim zavach, then to offer a sacrifice of fools, which means that al kihik haksilim shechaitim vim karban ve'inaisim tshuva. That is, don't be like the foolish ones that they sin and they bring a karban, but they don't do tshuva. And that is, so to speak, not the point. The point of the carbon is to do tshuva. As the pasuk ends, ki'inim yoidim lasazra, because they don't know how to do evil. To which the Gemara asks, ihachi tzadikim, then if that's the case, they don't know how to do evil, then they're righteous people. What does it mean? Ela al tehik uksilim shachaitim imavim carbon, ve'inim yoidim im ala toiva himavim, im ala ra himavim. Rather, it means don't be like the foolish people that sin and bring a carbon, and they don't even know, that's what it says, ki'inim yoidim. If they bring a carbon for what they did good or what they did bad, that's what it means, las isra. They don't even know if it's for the bad that they're bringing or for the good that they're doing. They don't even understand, and therefore they're obviously not doing tshuva. As the Gemara explains, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, bein toiv l'ra in mavchinim v'himavim carbon l'fanai. They don't even know the difference between good and bad, and they're going to bring a carbon in front of me. That's the understanding of the pasuk of regarding a person that shouldn't sin, and if he does, he should bring a carbon with tshuva. Gemara brings a different shot in that pasuk. Rav Ashi v'itim Reb Chanina bar Papa Amar Shmor nekovcha b'sho shato imid b'tfil lofana. It means watch your orifices at the time when you're standing in front of me before davening. And that's the words raglecha that it says shomer raglecha. That it means from watch what's between your feet, which as the pasuk in Shmuel says lahasach has raglev. It's a reference to the person's eerie over there, that is, watch your orifices, that you should not be mafiach, you shouldn't let gaz pass when you're in the middle of davening. That's what it means, shemar raglecha, kashatelech, basically when you're coming to shul to daven, that watch your legs, that you shouldn't be mafiach in the middle of davening. So up until now, we spoke about tefillah. Now the Gemara continues on the topic of tefillin related to a person's bodily functions. Tan Rabban, ha-nechnas la-beis ha-kiseh, choylitz tefillov barochik dal-ramas v'nechnas. Someone's entering into the bathroom, should first take off his tefillin 4 amas away from the bathroom, and then he should go in. Amravacha v'ravun and ravsheshes lo-yishonah la-beis ha-kiseh kavu. We didn't say this halacha, that you're required to take off your tefillin 4 amos away and then enter the Beis HaKisa. It's only if it's an established bathroom, which over there there's Salya, there's excrement, and all the Beis HaKisa that's in our Gemara is a reference that they had it out in the field. It was not in a pit, and therefore there was excrement there that was visible. But if it was a temporary bathroom, which is he's making it for the first time a bathroom, it was never used beforehand, then he could take off his tefillin and make and relieve himself right there on the spot. And he could be holding his tefillin in his hand, as the Gemara is going to say later. By a bathroom kavua, although you could also hold it in your hand, however, you have to take it off 4 amos away. And that is because at the time when it's on person's head, it's begolui, it's revealed to people, and that's embarrassing for the tefillin. So you have to take it off, but the difference between the Beis HaKisa kavua is you have to take it off 4 amos beforehand, and the Beis HaKisa arai, you could take it off right there on the spot and hold it as you relieve yourself. And then it continues, however, even by Beis HaKisa arai, when you're leaving the bath from the lavatory, then you have to go 4 amos away and then put it back on, because even the one that's arai, you just made it into an established bathroom, because now it has waste and excrement, and therefore it requires a 4 amos space before one goes ahead and puts on this tefillin. So now they're going to ask a question. You understand that you're not allowed to walk in with your tefillin to Beis HaKisa kavua, or even arai, when you're going to relieve oneself. However, if a person is going to be mashed in mayim, if a person is going to urinate, what is the halacha? Is that different? So the Gemara says, Ravina Shari, Rav Adar Masn Asr, one Amara said there was mutter, and one Amara said there was asr. Again, this is regarding if you could actually even leave it on your head as you're urinating. So asr shailu l'Rava there. So they came to ask Rava, what was the psak halacha? Amalahu asr, it's forbidden to urinate with the tefillin while one's wearing it. Chashinat shem yifne, we're concerned that a person might defecate with them, and therefore that's the problem. A person might feel the need to then relieve oneself a gedolim, and therefore that's asr. So Taisus says that this isser of urinating during the wearing the tefillin because a person might defecate, he says it's dafka by Beis HaKisa kavua, by an established bathroom, because they were concerned that he might relieve himself and he might get caught up, so to speak, in the act of relieving himself, and he might forget that he's wearing his tefillin. But in the Beis HaKisa arai, he says that people are not accustomed to relieving themselves there with gedolim, so there you're allowed to urinate, and we're not concerned that there you might defecate, because that's not the custom. And this that it says in the Braisa later, that a person should not urinate with his tefillin, even in the Beis HaKisa arai, and in the temporary bathroom, so Taisa says that's dafka when you're holding it, that would be worse, because then we're concerned that you might go ahead and then wipe the little droplets that are there, because they might fall on one's legs, or because you might touch the aver. So therefore, it would be worse when you're holding it in your hand. However, if it's on your head, Taisa says, that's not a problem, unless it's a Beis HaKisa kavua, where there were concerns, as Rava said, that chashin Hashem yifne behen, that you might defecate with them. I mean, the Gemara brings a different version, but Amri lo Hashem yifich behen. The reason why it's usher to urinate with the tefillin on one's head is because we're concerned that you might pass gas, and that is, as one goes to urinate, he might feel that urge, and that's usher while wearing tefillin. So for either reason, it's forbidden to urinate with tefillin. So the Gemara continues on this. Tanya, Idach, we learned another braisa. Hanichnas leBeis HaKisa kavua, choylet tefillav barachik dalet amis. As we mentioned before, that if someone goes into an established bathroom, he has to take off his tefillin 4 amis before he goes into the bathroom. Umanichan b'chaloyin asamach l'shasaram v'nichnas. And one places the tefillin by the window that's facing the shasaram, and then he goes in. Ukshu yaitza marachik dalet amis umanichan d'ver b'shamay. And when he leaves, then he distanced himself 4 amis, and then he puts it back on. That's the opinion of Bishamai. That's what you do with the tefillin when you go in. You can't take it in. You have to put it by the window. Beisil says, no. You have to take it off 4 amis before, and then the same regarding when you put it back on. However, you could hold it in your hand and walk in with it. Rabbi Kiva Eimer, Eichsen Bebigdev Nichnas. It says you could walk in, but it has to be holding it with his clothing, and then it could go in. So the Gemara asks, Bebigdev Sakataitach? Is it really true that he said you should hold it with your clothing? Zimne mishter lubanofli. Sometimes you might forget that it's in your clothing and it'll fall down. Ela emo eichzen bebigda ubeyadav nechnas. Rather, what he meant to say was, is that he should hold it in his clothing with his hand and then go in. So he's grasping it, and therefore he won't forget that it'll drop. However, it's grasping it with his clothing. And then Rabbi Kiva continues, umenichin b'chayrin hasmuchin lebeis hakis. And he says that you put in the holes that are facing the bathroom. not like Bishame that's the in the windows facing the Rosh Hashanah. Rather, it's talking about inside the wall that's in the field where they had the restroom, that there is where he was defecating. He puts it in the holes that are in the wall. And he says, and explicitly not like Beis Shammai, you should not put it in the holes that are facing Rishus HaRabim. And that is the holes that were in the wall of these different mechitzas that were there in the field, that the mice were not accustomed there to go where the people were going. That's in Rishus HaRabim. And he puts it in to the opposite, in the holes that are opposite where he's facing, where he's defecating. Still the halach is that he should not put it there. And then Rabbi Akiva continues, specifically not like Beis Shammai. And he says, you should not put in the holes of that wall that where the restroom is made up of that are facing the Rosh Hashanah outside. And that is, you would think that you would put it there, which is facing the area where people are going, because there the mice are not so accustomed to come. As we're going to see later on the Gemara, there is a concern that the mice would get to his tefillin. And therefore, he would keep it facing outside where people are, and he would go inside to go ahead and relieve himself. He should not do that. And the reason is, shemayitlu oisim oivei drachim, because maybe those passerbys that are passing by the bathroom are going to take it. But yevo dechashad will come to a case of suspicion. As the Gemara brings the story, because there was once a student that he put his tefillin in the holes that were facing the Rosh Hashanah, again for that concern that the mice shouldn't get to it, and why should he bring it into the bathroom, which would be embarrassing for the tefillin. Uvas zayna achaz ben atlas, and the harlot came and took his tefillin. Uvas lebeis hamedrash. The amr ruuma nusnli plaini b'schein. She came to the beis hamedrash. Says, look what this young Talmudic scholar. He gave me these tefillin for my payment for the act that we did together. So kivin shashama oisa talmud kach ol l'resha gag v'nafal lemes. When this student heard this, what was going around that what she had said about him in the beis hamedrash, he went up to the top of the roof and he fell and he died. So, at that time, they instituted, like many takanas chazal, that although there's deeper reasons, but it's sometimes a story would trigger that takanas chazal, that now a person should hold on to his tefillin with his clothing and in his hands, and then they should enter into the Beis Akisi holding his tefillin. So we have Machlekes, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, and Rebbe Akiva, what one should do with his tefillin. Beis Shammai says, leave it outside. Beis Hillel says, no, you can walk in with your hands. And Akiva says that, no, you should hold it with your hands and your clothing. And they say specifically not to leave it outside because of this episode that happened, which was had devastating consequences. The Gemara continues on this theme. Originally what it was is that they would put their tefillin in the holes that were facing the bathroom. In other words, in the inner part of the wall where the person is relieving himself. However, then the mice would come and take them. So then they were masak and they instituted that they should put it in the windows that are facing the public area, like Beis Shammai said, so that the mice shouldn't get to it. However, then it happened was that the passerbys would come and see the tefillin and take it. So they finally instituted that the person should hold it in his hand and walk in. Now the Gemara paskins la halacha, Rabbi Moshe Bered, Rabbi Shuban Levi, halacha, goylon kimin sefer, he should roll it up like a sefer, that is with the straps of the tefillin, v'eichzen b'yimin l'kenegel liban, he should hold it with his right hand opposite his heart. That's what a person should do when he goes into the bathroom with his tefillin. Obviously, he cannot be wearing it on his head. He should take it off for Amos before, but he should hold it with his right hand facing his heart, that he shouldn't forget about it, and that it shouldn't come to fall. Now the Gemara gives another aspect of this halacha. Omer Rav Yosef ben Yumi, Omer Rav Nachman, ubelvad shulak deiritzua yitzis metachas yadi tefach. As long as it's provided that that the strap does not protrude from his hand, even a tefach's worth. And that is because the ritzua is, the straps have kedusha, has holiness. Because with the straps is how he ties the tefillin onto himself. And in the straps, we see as it's made as the shape of a dalet, which is one of the three letters of the Hashem's name of Shakai, Shin Dalet Yod. And the shin is made on the walls of the batim that's on the outside. And the yod is made on the top of the ritzu of the tefillin shel yad. That is a little strap that's bent around a little bit. It looks like a yod. So therefore, the ritzus have kedusha. So even that has to be in his hand. It shouldn't be sticking out even a tefach. So Amr Yaakov Baracha, Amr Zeira, Lishtonu, Elashay Shoyz, Bayom Lalavshan. That this halacha that we mentioned, that a person should roll up his tefillin as when he goes into the bathroom, is only if he still has time to wear them during the day. But if it's already not getting nighttime, he won't have time to put on anyway. He should make a sort of a bag that has the space of a tefach, and then he should put them inside of there. And that is that the space inside the bag should have a tefach, that is the kli, this vessel should have a din of oil, that it should interfere between the tefillin and the ground that's there in the bathroom. And that's why it says it has to have at least this halal tefach, which is always a din regarding the din of oil. Something similar the Gemara says, I'm a rabbi, but that during the daytime when you have to go to the relieve yourself, so then you wrap it up like a sefer and you put it in your hand opposite your heart. But at nighttime, you make a bag that has a space of a tefach at least, and you put the tefillin in there, and then you go in with the tefillin. So the Gemara explains, we didn't say this halacha that you need to have a tefach of space for the tefillin between the tefillin and the bag, so it interrupts between that and the karka, only by a kli, by a bag, that is the bag that's designated for the purpose of the tefillin. We know, like, a person has a tefillin zekel, and therefore this bag is almost, so to speak, bottle to the tefillin itself, and therefore you need something that's recognizable, that should be a chatzitza between the tefillin and the area of the bathroom, therefore it has to have at least a space of a tefach. But Abaye says that if it's a separate bag, just you took a shopping bag, it's not designated for the tefillin, so therefore it's not bottle, it's not secondary to the tefillin, then it's good even if it doesn't have the area of a tefach between the tefillin and the bag to be considered an oil. And he proves this. Amar Mazutra Vitem Ravashi Teda Shepachin Ketana Matzilin Boil Ames. Should know this concept that we're mentioning, it doesn't require the din of a tefach, because small earthenware vessels, they save from tumah in the oil in the tent of a corpse. And that is when it has a halacha called tzamed pasul, which is a closure on top of this earthenware vessel, that if it's in the tent of a corpse, that even if there is not a tefach, it's a very small vessel, it still chaitz, it still interferes between the tumah and whatever's inside of that. So therefore we see that the halacha of Abaye is correct, that if it's something different, it's not, so to speak, bottled to the object inside, then even if it doesn't have the area of a tefach, it's going to be chaitzitz between what's inside and what's outside. Now the Gemara brings a story related to these halachas of wearing tefillin or taking them off when going into the bathroom. We went behind Rabbi Yochanan, when he had to go and relieve himself in the bathroom, so when he was holding a sefer of a gada, so then he would give it to us. When he was holding his tefillin, he wouldn't give it to us. Rather, he would go into the bathroom with it. And he says, since the Rabban permitted us to hold the tefillin so that we should watch the tefillin, that nothing should happen to it when we go into the bathroom, now we continue on to Amud Beis. So then the Natron, let it watch me. In other words, let me go into the bathroom so it should protect me from the mazik and from the demons. And therefore, since I'm allowed to, utilize the powers of that it has. Similarly, the Gemara brings a similar incident that Amar Rava, Ki Abazlin Basrid Rav Nachman, we would go behind Rav Nachman on the road, so Ki Abanokit Sefer they gathered to Yavlon. When he was holding a Sefer of a God, he would give it to us. Ki Abanokit Tvilin Lo Yavar Yavlon, when he was holding Tvilin, he wouldn't give it to us. Amar Hoyal Basharun Rabban, and the natural says, since Rabban permitted us to go into the bathroom with the Tvilin, they said it's not us. So therefore, let it watch me, let me utilize what it has, and therefore he would go into the bathroom with his Tvilin. Now the Gemara continues with other halachas relating to Tvilin. Tan Rabban. A person should not be holding his tefillin in his hands or a sefer in his arms and daven. And that is because he won't be able to focus properly, because he's constantly afraid that they're going to fall, the sefer Torah or the tefillin. And therefore, anything that's chashuv, that a person is afraid is going to fall, he shouldn't be holding that when he's davening. Whereas a siddur or other things, that the poskim do permit it. However, say a tefillin, when he's davening, he definitely shouldn't be holding it. And similarly, v'lo yashin behem mayim, as he's holding his tefillin, he shouldn't be urinating, because again, it's concerned that he might drop it from his hand, so therefore he shouldn't be urinating and holding his tefillin. He shouldn't sleep with his tefillin, a shina of keva, a sleep that's a regular full night sleep, so to speak, or even a shina sarai, even a small cat nap, he shouldn't even have that as he's holding his tefillin. And although we mentioned before that a person could urinate with his tefillin, Tosfos before on the Menalf mentioned that that's only on his head, but on his arms, that would be a problem if he's holding it in his hand, because there's going to be halacha related that a person should wipe off the droplets that come, and if he's holding his tefillin, it could be a problem when he's trying to wipe it or whatever, that he might drop the tefillin. So now the Gemara continues that a person should not, what he shouldn't hold in his hand and davening, we mentioned that a person shouldn't hold tefillin in his hand or sevatar in his arm and davening. So the Gemara is going to bring other things that a person should not be holding while he's davening. Amar Shmuel, sakin, regarding holding a knife, umois, or money, uka'aru, or a plate of food, v'kikar, or a loaf of bread, hare elu kayitzim, and these are similar to them. In other words, regarding davening, that a person is afraid that A, let's say the knife shouldn't fall and hurt him, or that the plate shouldn't fall and then all the food is going to fall on the ground, and or the money shouldn't get lost, or that the loaf of bread shouldn't get dirty. So therefore, all these different things are chashiv, has the same halacha that a person should not be davening and holding these things in his hand. So now the Gemara says, regarding the halacha, that a person should not urinate with the tefillin, Amar Rav, Amar Rav Sheshes, les hilchasa ki homas nita de bei shamahi. The halacha that we just mentioned from the Braisa, the halacha is not like that, because that Braisa is obviously going like Beis Shammai. We mentioned that a person shouldn't urinate with his tefillin. We mentioned before of Beis Shammai that he says that a person should put it in the window that's closest to Rishus Ram, and that he shouldn't go into the bathroom holding his tefillin. And the Gemara says, D'i Beis Hill, because if the halacha would be like Beis Hill, who we said on Oman Aleph, that a person could hold the tefillin in his hand and go into the bathroom. So hashda besakisa kavur shari besakisa arim ibayi. If we say that through an established bathroom, a person is going to defecate, he has to make gedolim. There, it's permitted to go into the bathroom holding his tefillin. So by besakisa arim, by a temporary bathroom, where that's, for example, where a person goes to urinate, where people don't go necessarily, and doesn't have the din of a bathroom, and it's only now that he's making the bathroom, for sure would there be a shiloh that you could hold your tefillin in your hand? And yet this Braisa says that lo yashtin behemayim, you cannot be urinating while holding the tefillin. So obviously that's like Beis Shammai, and therefore the halacha is not like it, because we pass it like Beis Hill. So the Gemara asks, Meisve. We mentioned in a different place that dvarm shartarti l'cho kan, asarti l'cho kan. It says this enigmatic phrase which says that the things which I permitted you here, I made it forbidden for you over here. In other words, that what I permitted for you over here in an established bathroom, I made it forbidden for you in a basic kisei in a temporary bathroom where it doesn't have the din, where it's, let's say, a person is just urinating. So that was what the halacha was said regarding. So the Gemara says, my love tefillin, isn't that it's talking about tefillin and that it's Beis Hill that said this statement? That if a person could hold his hand, he could hold his tefillin in his hand and go into the basic kisei kavur that I said it's permitted, and to urinate, I said that it's usur, as the Gemara is going to explain later. And that's what the Gemara says. Iyamid b'shalem b'shil. If you say that this phrase, which was said that what I permitted for you in an established bathroom, is forbidden for you in a temporary bathroom, so that makes sense. Hitarti l'cho kan kavua, astarti l'cho kan b'sakisarai, that although I permitted to walk in with the tefillin in one's hand going into an established bathroom, still, in spite of that, I said it's forbidden to hold the tefillin going into a temporary bathroom. And therefore, that would be that the Braisa would be like Basil. Eliyamit Beis Shammai, but if you're saying that it's Beis Shammai, Holei Shor V'Lei Midi, they never permit at all in the Beis HaKisei Kavua. So therefore, there's nothing to say that it permitted in an established bathroom that he said it's forbidden in the temporary bathroom. So therefore, obviously, it is like Basil, not like you said that we don't pass in like this Braisa because it's Beis Shammai. It would seem contrary to that it is forbidden in the temporary bathroom in spite of the fact that it is permitted in the Beis HaKisei Kavua, in an established bathroom. So the Gemara answer is no. Kitanya Ahi, when we learned that Braisa that said that what I made permitted here, that was said le'in yitefach utfachayim. That was regarding the permissibility of revealing oneself in this one's private parts regarding a tefach or two tefachim. That is, it wasn't talking about regarding tefillin. Rather, it's regarding this revealing oneself of a tefach or tefachayim, that for gedolim, when a person has to defecate, he's only allowed to reveal one tefach, whereas when he's urinating for ketanim, then he's allowed to reveal himself two tefachim. And that is what we're saying, that the revelation, so to speak, of the two tefachim that I permitted you over here, I said it's forbidden over here, as the Gemara explains. The Tani Chad, that we learned in one braisa, kashu nifne megala la'achrav tefach, ulefon of tefachim. We said when the person is relieving himself, he can reveal behind himself one tefach, and not more because of tznius, which is necessary. A person can't just, so to speak, drop everything and reveal himself. He can only reveal one tefach, and in front of him he could reveal two tefach. I mean, that is because of the flow of the urine that sprayed far away. Therefore, you need to open up and reveal two tefach. However, v'tani yidach in another brisa la'achar of tefach ulefan of loy kolum. That for behind oneself, one can reveal a tefach, but in front, one cannot reveal anything. So what's that? That would seem to be a contradiction. So my lav, So what would it make sense to say? That it's not a contradiction. Both of these brises are in reference to a man, and there's no problem, and that is, here where we said that in front of him he cannot reveal even anything, that was in reference to when he was defecating, when he's making gedolim. And here where we said that in front he could reveal two tvachim, that's in reference to urinating, when that's for katanim. That is, when we mentioned before, that the things that are permitted for you in the temporary bathroom, which is the revealing of two tvachim in front of one's person, that I made it forbidden for you in the bathroom kavua, in the basic kizik kavua, because there where you're defecating, you can't reveal anything in the front because there's no need. And that would be the understanding of the statement of Dvarm Shartati L'chokan, Asarti L'chokan, but it has nothing to do with tefillin. To which the Gemara asks, V'tizbiro, is that possible to say that? Ibiktanim la'achav tefach lomali. If it's talking about ketanim, where we allow the person when he's urinating to reveal two tefachim in front, so why does that brisa say that he could reveal a tefach in behind himself? If he's just urinating, he doesn't have to reveal anything. And for halachas of tznayis, he shouldn't even be allowed a tefach behind. So the Gemara says no. Rather, both brisa are talking about when the person is making gedolim, he's defecating, and therefore it's resolved as follows. Habi'ish, habi'isha, the one that allows him two tefachim in the front is talking about a man. And this that does not allow even anything in the front is talking about when a woman is relieving herself. And that is, a man, since he's pushing himself to make a dilem, he has to relieve himself when he's making from the rear. So then the teva of a person is that he comes to urinate also. That is the teva, when the person has to make a dilem, ketanu kam also. So therefore, by a man, from behind him, he's allowed to reveal a tefach, because that's how much is necessary to relieve from behind. And in front of him, he could open up two tefachim, because he's going to have to urinate in spite of the fact that he's just it came for gedolim. However, a woman, in front of her, she cannot reveal anything, and because she doesn't have that type of anatomy as a man has. And this is what we said before, that dvarim she'asarti lecha, those things that I've made it forbidden for you by a woman, that she can't reveal anything in front, hetarti lecha, I permitted to you by a man that he could reveal even two tefachim in the front, and both are talking about when they're making gedolim. So the Gemara asks, ihachi, if that's the case, that's how you want to resolve it, that it's not going like Beis Hillel regarding tefillin. Rather, it's talking about revealing oneself a tefach and two tefachim, and that's what we said, that what I permitted for you over here, I made it, which was talking about a man, asati l'chakan, I've made it forbidden for you over here by a woman. So hadik tani Allah, this that we learn on this, meaning when it says that statement, what I permitted for you here, I made it forbidden for you here, the seifa of that statement says, b'zehu kal v'chomer she'enu lav tshuva. It said that this is a kal v'chomer that has no response. In other words, regarding this, there's something that, regarding this halacha that I just said, there's something that could be responded to me with a kal v'chomer, and I would have no response to answer to that. In other words, that it would so to speak, sound like it's slugging up, it's refuting the halacha that we're saying. So therefore, if it's in reference to tefillin as we originally wanted to respond, and as we're saying that it's Beis Hillel, so that's what would make sense, that you could ask a kal v'chomer on this halacha, that is, if by an established bathroom, a Beis HaKavua, kavua, that it's permitted for one to walk in with tefillin, so then by a temporary bathroom, would it be a shayla? Of course you should be able to walk in with your tefillin. And at that, I wouldn't have a response to answer. But if we're talking about, as we're trying to respond now, that it's talking about the halacha of a tefach or two tefachim, so what type of kavachem would we be able to ask on that? As the Gemara says, my ain't a love tshuva, what would that mean that I would have no response to the kavachem? Darche de milsa hachi isa. This is exactly the derech of mankind, that the man has to reveal in front of himself two tefachim, and not the woman, because she doesn't have that need. So what would it mean? What would I have, so to speak, a way of disrupting this halacha and saying I have a kavachem and I would have no response to that? There's nothing wrong with the halacha we just said. But if we're talking about that it's like Beis Hillel, so then it would have. So the Gemara says, you're right, it'll have tefillin, v'tiyufta derava amrav sheshes tiyufta. So correct, it would seem that this halacha was said in reference to tefillin, and that is that although it's forbidden by a temporary bathroom, it's permitted by a Beis HaKisei Kavua, by an established bathroom. And that's what it says, that it would seem to be a pircha, a kal v'chomer, that it wouldn't make sense. Why is it mutter by an established bathroom, but it's usher by a temporary bathroom? But that is the halacha that we're saying, and therefore it's not like Rav has said before, and rather the brisa is not Beis Shammai, it's Beis Hillel, and therefore the halacha is like that brisa, that a person cannot go into the bathroom holding his tefillin, that although we said it's permitted by Beis HaKisakivu, it's forbidden by Beis HaKisarai. So now the Gemara encounters this halacha. So mikamokim kasha. However, it would seem to be a problem. It would seem to be difficult because we have that kavuchaymer that was saying that if it's muta by bathim kavua, definitely it's going to be muta by bathim arai. As the Gemara says, hashda beis akisa kavua shoy beis akisa arai lekolshken. So the Gemara says hachikama. This is what we were saying. Beis akisa kavua the leka nitzaitz is shari. That the reason why it's muta by an established bathroom is because there's no droplets over there. And that is by that he wouldn't have to wipe himself off with his right hand that's on his feet because he's making gedolim. And therefore there's no concern of the way the person is standing or sitting that he would have to wipe off the droplets. Basically, but by a temporary bathroom where he's just urinating, the ikanit sites is where there's droplets that drop on his foot. And there, as the Gemara in Masechtas Yuma Daf Lamed says, that there's a mitzvah to wipe it off. And the reason for that is because it's forbidden for a person to go out of the bathroom with the droplets that dropped on his feet, because he might seem like what's called a kreshav shivcha. That what happens is that maybe he doesn't have the capacity of a full aver, and therefore it's going to be mitzi laz on his children that they're mamzerim, because he obviously cannot have children, as we see that his aver just drops driplets out of there, and therefore he's not allowed to hold tefillin in his hand. And that's what the Gemara says. There it's asri. There it's forbidden because it has the downside of having to wipe off the droplets. And if he's holding his tefillin, it's going to be a disgrace for the tefillin. Either he's going to do it with the tefillin or he might actually drop it. So the Gemara asks, if that's the answer, so what does it mean? There would be no response to this kavu chayim that if it's muta by basic kisa kavu, definitely it's muta by basic kisa arai. It's not true. It would seem to be that they're different. Basically, kavu is muta because there's no concern of having to wipe off the droplets, but by temporary bathroom, when one is urinating, there is that concern. So we have a good answer for that kavu chayim. So Gemara says, hachikama. What we're saying was as follows. Ha milsa, this thing regarding going into the bathroom with tefillin, whether it's a basic kisei arai or basic kisei kavua, teisi lebetaris taima. You have to say the halacha in regards to the guidelines of reasoning. That is, that it's mutter in the basic kisei kavua and it's usr in the basic kisei arai has to be because of the reasoning that we explained regarding the droplets. But v'loi teisi lebekavuchemeh, don't try to understand this halacha as it is from the halachas of kavuchemeh. Because if you were to come onto this because of what's considered a lighter halacha and because of one that's more chamer, so then I wouldn't have a response, because I would say that of course if it's mutter in the basic kisei kavua, for sure it's going to be mutter in the basic kisei arai, and then I would have nothing to respond to you because we don't find anywhere that a basic kisei arai is more chamer than a basic kisei kavua that I would be able to respond to you. And therefore, you have to say that it's not based on that, rather it's based on the time that we gave, and therefore there is a tshuva, but it meant to say, if you're coming from Kal and Chomer, there wouldn't be a tshuva. Now the Gemara continues with the halachas related to relieving oneself. And the Gemara begins, Tan Rabban, Haroitz likonis lesudis kevav. Someone is going into an established meal, and that is, it would be embarrassing for him to leave the meal in the middle to go out and relieve himself. So therefore, what he should do is as follows. Mahalach asar pom dalad amis, oy dalad pom yur amis, v'yifnev achakach nechnes. Either he should go and walk around 10 times for a distance of 4 amas, or he should walk around 4 times the distance of 10 amas. After each time, he should go ahead and attempt to relieve himself. And then afterwards, after he attempts that, he should go to the bathroom, and then he should go into the meal. And that is, every time he walks around, it helps him to make the food go down from the intestines down into the cavities that where a person relieves his waste. And that is one of the eitzes that the place can give regarding before tefillah, that if a person that finds it difficult to go relieve himself, he should first walk around, then sit down, then get up, walk around again, and then sit down again. That helps the process for a person to go into the meal, and that he won't be embarrassed to have to go out in the middle of the meal to relieve himself. Another din related to a suda, if someone goes into established meal, in other words, sitting down for a long, real meal, so then he should first take off his tefillin, and then he should go ahead and enter the room. And that is because he might get drunk in the middle of the meal, and it's going to be disgraceful for the tefillin. So therefore, first you take it off, and then you go into the meal. Remember, the Gemara says, that the way this was phrased, regarding what a person does with his tefillin, argues on what Reb Chiya said. Reb Chiya, manichin al shulchanoi v'chin hodoloi. He said you don't have to take it off and leave it outside the room. Rather, you take it off and leave it on the table, and that befits the person. That is, that it should be prepared for him the second he's done, and they're starting the brachas of after the meal, he should be able to put it back on. As the Gemara says, Vad Amos, and until how long should he leave it off? Reb Nachman b'Yitzchok, ad zman bracha, until the time when they're making the brachas after they finish the meal, that's the time when you can start putting it back on. And that's what he says, it should be ready on the table and not in the room outside. Now the Gemara continues regarding the halachas of tefillin, specifically where a person should keep it and how he's allowed to keep it when he's not wearing it. Tanu chada, we learn in one braisa, tsar adam tefillav im ma'isav bafra kasusa, that a person can wrap his tefillin with his money in the same bundle, in the same kerchief. And that is, it doesn't literally mean with the money, mamish, rather means that you take the kerchief and you make two different knots, and therefore they're right next to each other, but in the same kerchief, that's not a problem, as long as they're not touching. However, tanya idach lo yatzur, another bride said that no, you can't wrap the tefillin and the money, even if they're not touching, with the same kerchief, it has to have its own distinct container. So the Gemara says lo kash, that's not a difficulty, they're not arguing. The one that says that it's asr is that kerchief was designated for the tefillin. The one that says it's mutter when it wasn't designated. And that is, since it was designated, then you're not allowed to wrap any more money in it because it's something, it's called huktza lekach. It's, in other words, it's designated, so therefore it has a certain amount of kedusha now because it's the tefillin zekah, like it's called. It's the specific container for the tefillin. That's where you can't put the money in it. As the Gemara says, Dem Rav Chisda, Hai sudra de tefillin de azmini lemetza be tefillin. He says, regarding this kerchief that was designated for the tefillin, that was prepared for it to wrap the tefillin in it, so then, tsar bei tefillin asa lemeitza bepshita. If you had already once used it already for that purpose and you wrapped your tefillin in it, so now from now on you're not allowed to wrap any more coins inside in it. However, azmenei v'lei tsar bei, or tsar bei v'lei azmenei, then shori lemeitza bei zuzi. If let's say it was designated for tefillin, but you never actually used it, or you wrapped your tefillin in that kerchief one time, but it wasn't designated, then it would still be permitted to wrap coins in it. And that is, it has to have both criteria. It has to have that it was designated just for the tefillin and it was actually used one time. But if it's missing one of them, then you're still allowed to use it with money inside, and it could even be in the same time as the tefillin, just they can't be touching. However, the Gemara says that this seems to argue on a different amora, that ulabayi, the amah hazmana milsihi, according to Abayi, that he says that the preparation is something in halacham, as he says in the Gemara Sanhedrin regarding if a clothing was woven specifically for a dead person, for a corpse, and therefore it has certain halachas, so then azmane avagav deloy tzarbe. If it was prepared, even if it was never once wrapped for the tefillin, it would still be asr for the money because he holds hazmana milsihi. It has specific guidelines in halacha that it's considered as if it's already designated for the tefillin. However, tsar bei, if it was once wrapped, the tefillin inside of that kerchief, so then e azmenei aser, if it was also designated, then it's forbidden. Eloi azmenei lei, but if it wasn't designated, although it was once used for the tefillin, it's still not a problem to wrap money inside of it because it has to have at least a hazmona. According to Abayi, it doesn't need both criteria, but just being wrapped in it once is not going to make it aser to use it for money. It would have to have at least hazmona also. So now the Gemara continues on this and says, bo yimenei Rav Yosef bereder of Nechonim Rav Yehuda. So we talked about how a person should keep his tefillin when he's not using it, what type of kerchief, if it's designated for it. Now his question was, what is the halacha? Could a person put his tefillin under his head? And that is at night when he's going to sleep. So he says, I didn't ask the question regarding putting it under one's feet, because that's definitely a problem, because that's degrading for the tefillin under one's feet. So my question was, are you allowed to put it under your head? My, what's the din? In other words, there it's not so degrading as under one's feet. So he said that in the name of Shmuel, he says that it's permitted. And he said, not only that, even if he's in the bed with his wife, and specifically what goes on between the husband and wife, it still would not prohibit putting the tefillin under one's head. To which the Gemara asks, Meisvei, lo yinich adam tefillav tachas margloisav, mimnei shenoig behem derech bizayin. As we mentioned, that a person should not put his tefillin under his feet, because that's a way of degrading the tefillin. Aval menichin tachas margloisav, but you could put under your head. However, the Braisa says, vim hoise yishtayim oyasar. It says if his wife was with him, then it would be forbidden. And then the Braisa continues, hayimokim shegevoy gimel tvachim, oynomach gimel tvachim mutter. However, if let's say the tefillin were at least three tvachim higher than the person sleeping on the bed, or three tvachim lower, so it's in a different area, then it would be permitted to have the tefillin there. However, the Gemara says, tiyufta dishmul tiyufta, it seems to disregard the halacha of Shmuel, and therefore we don't pass like him, because the Braisa says not like him. And the Braisa says that if his wife is with him, it's forbidden. However, the Gemara says, "Amarava avagav the tanda to yufta de Shmuel hilchas hakafase." Now, even though we had, which seems to contradict Shmuel, an amora from a braisa from the Tanoim, the halacha is still like him. And the Gemara asks, "My time, what's the reason? Why would the halacha be like Shmuel?" So we continue on to the top of Chavdalim and Aleph, because kol interinu tfei odav mibizyoni, that protecting the tefillin is better than its degradation, and that is that when the person puts his tefillin under his head, is that it protects it from the mice or from ganavim, from robbers. So that although the brayse is correct that is a bezoyin when one is sleeping with one's wife to have the tefillin there, however, the halacha is still like Shmuel for a different reason, because of the protection that it gives for the tefillin is better in halacha than the bezoyin that the tefillin are going to suffer. However, the Gemara asks of Heichamanachlahu, now, where would you put this? In other words, although we say you're allowed to put it under your head, where exactly under the head is it allowed? So, Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Karla Kesses, Shaloika Neged Rosha. It has to be between the mattress and the pillow, but not directly opposite the person's head. To which the Gemara asks, well, Tony Reb Chiyah Manichim Bekoy V'tachs Mer Shaisav. But Reb Chiyah said, no, you could put it in a pouch right under the person's head. So the Gemara answers, Demafik Le Lamursha de Koy V'lavar. But if he draws the bulge of the pouch beyond, in other words, to the outside, that's when Reb Chiyah himself was saying the halacha. He permits it under the head, but the bulk of it, meaning where the tefillin are sticking out of, so to speak, that container has to be out of his head. It can't be right directly opposite his head. And everybody agrees that though you're allowed to put it under the head, it has to be at least a little bit out of it. You can't be directly opposite the person's head.